pastor.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here we
are. And we don't just give up.
It's Pastor Ralph.
Christ didn't give up, and we don't give up either. There's a verse in Philippians 1:6 that said, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Guys, I didn't start this thing with me. I didn't get right by my power. It was by the power of Christ who died for me. And listen, I was ditty-bopping in time doing what I wanted to do, living my own sinful life. And by the way, I was dragging that woman with me. And then Christ came and touched my heart, and he spoke in my ear, in fact, to my heart, and he said something that I had never heard before. Brother Ralph, you're on the wrong road, and I've got the right one. And he said it in such a way where I believed him. And just like these in chapter 11, by faith, I believed him, and I followed him. And guess what? He was right. And because of what he did, and because of him even touching my heart, I was able to go the right way. And praise God, I was able to grab that woman and take her with me, though she was already there. And then he blessed us and put us on fire for him. And Lord, we had some issues every once in a while, but for the most part, those besetting sins, we have left them there, and we have went on to work and walk for our Lord. Now, I don't have nothing in this earth, and whatever I get is because he has given it to me, and I thank him for that. But I know there's going to be coming a time when Brother Ralph will be no more. We see it with others. It's going to happen with me. And what I do know is two things. Number one, I know I'm going to go to heaven. I know I got a home there already. And number two, everything I got is going to stay right here on this earth, and somebody else is going to mess it up, because it won't be me. And this is the kicker: I won't even care, because I will be in his presence, in his place, in his face, glorifying him morning, noon, and night. In fact, I'm told there'll be no night there, so I'm going to be okay. He says in verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. He goes on as a reminder in verse 4. He says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And no, we haven't, but Christ did. And ye have forgotten, look what verse 5 says, the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Look, my son, and listen, this is God talking, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And guys, even though sometimes when he's rebuking us and when he's chastising us, it doesn't seem like it's a good thing. But when I'm out of order, my heavenly father is going to get me in order, just like my earthly father would. And he puts me in a place where I see my wrong, and I can repent of my wrong, and I can get back on the street called straight. Because I was going straight, then all of a sudden I saw something over here, and I started gravitating toward that. And he said, those he loves, he'll chasten, and he'll get me back on that street. Amen? He says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And this is key, verse 6. He says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth, he says, every son. In other words, if you're his and you're sinning, you're going to hear from him. It says, when whom he received. Verse 7 says, and by the way, that's the good news. Because you're his, and he will pay you some mind. If ye, verse 7, endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. And again, actually good news. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not. And listen, if you're his, he's going to chasten you, even in the natural. He goes on in verse 8, and this is the bad news. But if ye be without chastisement, in other words, those besetting sins that keep creeping back up, and you go back over and start playing with them again, and listen, you get no bother from the Lord, no bother from God. You can just go ahead and go back into it and sin in peace. There's a problem with the relationship that you thought you had. And if you can sin in peace, you got an issue. Either you're out of fellowship, or you never actually had a relationship at all. Again, bad news. He goes on in verse 8. He says, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all partakers, then are ye, look what he says, bastards and not sons. And listen, that's one of those ones where you sit back and say, man, I've been living and doing what I wanted to do, and I'm not bothered by it. My heart's not bothered by it. God's not really paying me no mind. Maybe, just maybe, I'm not where or who I say I truly am. He goes on in verse 9, and listen, the writer is making comparison here. He says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we have and gave them reverence. In other words, we have respect of our parents when they would correct us. He says, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And listen, he's talking about being obedient, that if we're obedient to him, then we're living with him in perfect fellowship. And if we're disobedient, then we're out of fellowship. And by the way, the simplest definition of death is separation from God. And if we're separated from him temporally as a believer because we're in sin, we mess up the fellowship, and he'll come and chasten you to get you back in fellowship. But listen, if we are separated from him eternally, meaning we don't know him and we leave him or leave here, then that second death will apply to you. Either we're dead spiritually, temporarily, because we're in sin, and the writer is saying, get right with God, put off that sin, repent of that sin, and ask the Lord to forgive you so you can get back. But man, if you don't know him, you're not even going to know who to ask to forgive you of the sin, number one, and number two, you really are not going to have a mind to want to get back. I was having a conversation with my brother Roger in regard to, he was sharing that even where he lives and down in Georgia, that the churches aren't really where they ought to be in regard to folk coming back after COVID. And I was sharing how many folk came here when we started, and then COVID came, and then it came, we got back in here, and then all of a sudden it just got shy. And I was sharing, I don't know if I did a good thing by putting the sermons online or not, because folk figure they can just sit there in the comfort of their own home and watch the sermon. And look, it's good to have when you can't make it out, but it is not church. I need your encouragement. Man, when I see Ralph coming here, and listen, he's walking in his own steam, and I know he's been sick. Man, that does my heart good. When I see any of you, when Tony was out and he's back on his feet, that does my heart good. And when we're physically amongst the saints, man, we're fellowshipping, we're talking, we're sharing, and that's an encouragement to our hearts. Not to mention the Holy Spirit is just flowing in the service, and we're being blessed by God in ways that you never could if you're watching at home. Not to mention, he says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some ought or some has. He says we're not. And if I can make it, I need to be here. The story is told of a man that told his wife, I'm not going back to that church. Them people don't like me. And I'm tired of them looking at me funny. And I'm tired of the smirks I get when I walk in the church. And his wife said, well, honey, you got to go back. We're members of that church. He said, I don't care what we remember or not, I'm not going back. And she said, well, they need you because you lead the singing. He said, well, somebody else will lead the singing. I'm not, they don't treat me right. And then finally said, well, honey, you're the pastor. And if you don't go back, nobody's going to be able to preach. And listen, it's a humorous story. But look, a lot of times folk will not come to a church because of how someone looked at them or treated them. And look, God did not say, Brother Ralph, this morning, he didn't say to me, I need your opinion on whether or not you should go and preach today. He didn't say that. He says, I need you to go and preach a sermon. He didn't ask my opinion, didn't even ask how I felt. Number one, because he already knew how I felt. And number two, he knew that I would listen to his voice and I would do what he called me to do. Guys, we're in a time, man, a very sinful time, where sin's encroaching at an alarming rate. We're living in a time where it's even being mandated where if I don't care if it's wrong, you're going to call it right. We're living in a time where folk who we thought had even a little common sense, we're realizing they ain't got no sense at all. And then here we are, children of the Most High God. And he has called us to do something. And listen, he says, pay no attention to the left or to the right. Just do what I tell you to do and walk right down the middle and you're going to be okay. He said that he's going to provide for us according to his riches and glory. And not to mention, all of what we see here is one day is not going to be here. And guess what? Neither will we be. But while it's here, we need to be the beacon of light in this dark place where folk don't have no light. Because if you don't shine your light, how are they ever going to see? And by the way, through the power of Christ, he sits on the right hand of God, but we are his arms and his legs and his vehicle. And by the way, we are his church. And if we don't do the work of the church, then who's going to do it? So it's on us. He says in verse 10, look at verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the fathers of spirits and live? For they verily, talking about the earthly fathers, for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. And I chuckle every time I read that. And look, I've been told on more a few occasions by my mother, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. Hurt me more than it hurts you. I'm like, Mom, I don't know about that. But it says that they chasing us after their own pleasure. In other words, they were doing what they thought were right. It says, but he, talking about God, he says, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. In other words, for eternal purposes. And what I know is maybe my earthly father didn't know best, but I know my heavenly father knows best. And he knows the route I need to be going. And look, I don't care if I see over here it's a mountain of gold and I'm trying to go after that goal. If my father said, listen, leave that goal alone. I want you over here. He's saying it for a reason and for a purpose. And I don't need to question him. I need to do like Abraham. He says, get up and go. I need to get up and go and simply be obedient to him. In verse 11, it says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. And it isn't always. It says, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it said, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In other words, God does it for our spiritual purpose and reason that is going to be a blessing, and we'll understand it better by and not by, whether or not we can fully understand it right now. Amen. If you would, mark that page, because we're going to flip right back there. But I want us to go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's going to be page 982, because we're going to start at verse 28. Of Romans chapter 8. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And this is Paul speaking. This is one of Paul's books. And he's speaking, and he gives us some spiritual information that we need to know and need to have. If you're there, please say amen. And Paul writes here in verse 28, and we know. In other words, there's something that he thinks we ought to know. If we don't know, we ought to know. And if you don't know, he's going to tell you so. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. In other words, guys, first and foremost, nothing gets to the believer unless God has okayed it. And for a reason, for a purpose. And somehow, man, even tragedies is going to somehow work for the good. And listen, he would say it unless it was so, because God's in charge of all things. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So he's talking about particular people, and to them who are called according to his purpose. So he's not talking about everybody, but he's talking about his people, his church, for whom he did foreknow. And by the way, before you was a glint in your daddy's eye, he knew you. It says before he, for whom he foreknew, he did predestinate. In other words, there was a destination that he had you headed for, and you didn't even know what it was. It says he did predestinate to be, look, conformed to the image of his son. And by the way, part of that conforming has to do with God's chastening, because you weren't there, and his chastening got you there so that you can conform, it says, to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And listen, what we know is that Christ was the first to get up, and since he has conformed you and blessed you and saved you, you're going to be able to get up as well. He goes on, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. In other words, he called, and if you're a believer, you heard his call. And whom he called, them he also justified. In other words, guys, because of the finished works of Christ and him blessing you with what he did, he has made you just. And it had nothing to do with how you were walking and how you were talking. It had everything to do with Christ pouring his spirit in your heart and justifying you. And when God now looks at your, look, many sins, he doesn't see your sins. He sees the finished works of Christ. It says he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. And guys, you can look at me. You see I'm here. I'm in physical form. I'm here on earth. But God sees me, hallelujah, in heaven with those that have gone before me, with his son, praising him. Because from God's perspective, because he called it, it's a done deal. And Brother Ralph is going to be in heaven. And prayerfully, I'm not going to be alone. Amen. He goes on in verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And listen, we know that Satan's against us, and he has a whole dominion that's against us, but they can't be successful against us. And then he goes on, he gives us some understanding and information. It says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. In other words, he did that, and that set us free. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And man, I love that. Because whatever I need in life, rather than go to look for it, how about I go to the Lord first? And many times, for whatever reason, we forget that step. Many times we'll remember, sometimes we won't. I'm going to share a quick story, something that happened to me yesterday. I'm working on an old car, of course, sitting up in my garage. And I drove the car into my garage. And when I drove it in there, it was nice, man, because it's hot out. I had the air on. It was blowing. It felt good. So the other day, I'd done some work on it, and I was in the garage. I started it up. And I said, let me turn the air on, man, because it's like 100 degrees in the garage. I'll sit here and cool off. And so I'm sitting in the car letting it cool off. And I noticed that the air is blowing, but it's not cool. Now, I knew I came in there with cool air. And I hadn't done anything to that system, and yet and still it's not cooling me off. And so I persisted to get out my diagnostic tool. I broke out my voltmeter. I'm checking out the ohms on the fuses. I'm checking the switches. I'm checking this. I'm checking the diodes, checking everything. And I'm still not fine. I said, well, maybe I can short it and go through here. And man, I'm getting ready to screw this car up. And so I'm sitting in the car, and I'm looking at the controls. And I turn the air back on, and it's still not cool. And I look in the middle of the AC button, and I said, Lord, help me with this. After doing all that, and the Lord touched my heart and said, push the AC button. And so I pushed the AC button. Foo! Man, I'm sitting in there freezing. And I'm sitting in there, and the air went on, and I hollered. I know my neighbor had to hear me. I said, ah! I couldn't believe it. And listen, dummy. How about going to him first? And that's simple, and that doesn't even mean anything, but he cares about us that much. And look, right now there are folks that are looking for husbands, for wives, for jobs, for homes, and everything else. How about we go to him first? Because Paul reminded us here that he freely will give us all things if it's his will to do so. And we will go it all around the mulberry bush. And the whole time, praise God, he's there to give us the needs and sometimes the wants of our lives. He, verse 32, that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with us also freely give us all things? He goes on and he gives us a blessing here. He asks these questions. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And by the way, if you're his, he elected you. And by the way, he's the only one that threw in a ballot. It says it is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is God that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even on the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession, look, for us. And listen, for us collectively, but also intercession for us individually, as you struggle or go through or hurt or ailing or are sick, he's praying for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or stress or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Seems like I heard Brother Greg reading something like this. It says, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And look, that's how Satan in the world sees us. And in fact, that's our new job description. But God has overcome even that. Nay, in all these things, we are, look, more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul goes on. And listen, this is his personal testimony. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. And by the way, tomorrow's got something that has your name on it, and you don't even know what it is. But God is saying, even for tomorrow, I got you. Nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. From the front, from the back, from the top to the bottom, he's got you. Amen. Flip back to Hebrews 12. Thank you, Lord. Look at verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded, it said, the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and feeble knees. In other words, stop moping around, stop acting like it's you and Job, and ain't nobody else is going through anything. He says, and feeble knees, and make straight your feet, and make straight paths, it says, for your feet. In other words, man, get right and stay right, and you'll be all right. It says, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And that's what we want. We want to be healed. And look, I remember Jonah, he's out there in the water. And listen, God gave him a commission and a job and a calling. He didn't answer it. And because of that, folk were getting ready to die, not just him. And ultimately, he had to straighten out his feet and get right and repent so that God could use him all over again. He says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And guys, because of our time, I'm going to stop there because I'm going into another section. But what he is saying to us individually and collectively as his church, he's saying that we need to stop playing around with the Lord. Stop using his name in vain, saying, oh, I love him. He loves me. I know I'm one of his. I know I'm going to go to heaven. And your life is living a lie. And your life is showing that you really are not sincere about the things of the Lord. Man, what we need to do is be sold out for his cause. And we need to surrender our lives. And listen, back when soldiers would fight, you know how they knew when their enemy was giving up? They would raise the white flag, and they would throw down their weapons, and they would say, I surrender. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to throw down our carnal weapons, stop trying to fight him, stop trying to act like you're a Christian, and simply be one of his, raise the white flag, and say, Lord, whatever you want of me, I'm going to do it because I can't take your chastisement, and I need to get my life right. And if we're sincere and serious, he'll grab a hold of us, and he'll bless us, and he'll take us, and grow us, and minister to us. And man, he will literally blow our spiritual minds with how he's going to use us. But we must make the decision that, Lord, yes, I know I'm yours, but I'm not living like I'm yours. Please, take my life, use me, and do with me what you will. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this time of study. And Lord, we thank you for the folk that have come out and come here. And Father God, we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, that has given us his Holy Spirit. And Lord, has even given us that Spirit so that we can understand and see some things. And Father, even on this day, Lord, I know most of these folk, but some I just loosely know, and I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, that if there is anyone here that does not know you in the pardon of their sin, that, Father God, you would have them to repent of their sin, Father God. And even if it's your will, Lord, have them come down and I can pray with them and even explain the way of Christ to them even that much clearly. Lord, trouble them that are still fighting you. Trouble them that are still trying to stay apart from you. Trouble them that are living a lie. And let them know that it's time to live in the truth. Lord, I'm talking to those that are here in attendance. I'm also talking to those that are watching on the video. Lord, help them to know that you know them and you see them and you would desire them to be fully committed unto you. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We say yes to your will and to your way as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. And let God's church say, amen. And amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp@gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.